Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back to the Voice of Yahweh Radio Ministries.
Greetings, listeners. We're so excited to announce Pastor Evangelist Barbara Lynch is going to be featured at a Miracle Weekend event. We're at the Lighthouse Church when? June 22nd and June 23rd, 2019. We will be hosting special services, and God has already promised that He's going to show up and move. If you need a miracle, if you need a touch, if you need a special blessing, you need to make sure that you get to the Lighthouse Church on June 22nd and June 23rd. Don't miss your day of visitation. On behalf of Pastor Evangelist Barbara Lynch, we're calling each and every one of you to prayer. Prayer for President Trump on June 2nd, 2019. It is now in this historic time that we as the body of Christ take up our rightful place in intercession and calling out to God for God's protection over President Trump. We ask that you join us tomorrow, June 2nd, 2019, in intercession and prayers for favor, for blessing, and for the honor of President Trump. This is an unprecedented time in our history. Never before has any president been attacked, demoralized, victimized like President Trump. We must stand in this hour. We must stand and fight against the principalities and powers that are trying to stop the agenda of God. You are about to partake of a very powerful message by Pastor Evangelist Barbara Lynch. It's not an accident that you tuned in at this time. This message is just for you. Let's listen at what Pastor Evangelist Barbara Lynch has to say.
When I asked God, you know, what he once taught on, he said, "My children, you still have not learned long suffering as my son Jesus did. I desire you to learn this day all about long suffering." Now, I entitled this consecrated life, living a consecrated lifestyle, and there's a reason why I did that. Now, long suffering, the definition is patiently enduring lasting offense or hardship. And he said, "There, we have not learned your long suffering yet." So long suffering is patiently enduring lasting offense or hardship. In Galatians 5:22 talks about the fruit. It said that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long suffering as a fruit of the Spirit, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. I don't think too many people have that fruit in their life, the long suffering. And you need to start working on your long suffering. All right. We need to learn about the fruit of long suffering and how to never give up. And I know a lot of you sitting in here tonight, you know that the reason why you wanted to give up so many times is because the fruit of long suffering is not operating in your life. Or hasn't been, but is now. But at one point it wasn't operating, but it should be now. All right? God promises that He will strengthen and uphold us, but how do we do our part? You have to know that there are many out there that are, this is God speaking. Wherever you see that little star, that's when God starts speaking again, okay? You have to know that, I really feel good tonight. You know, God is really on the throne, and He's doing a perfect works, all right? You have to know that there are many out there that have never heard of me, and they live in strange and different places. Listen to this, you guys. You will need to know how to reach these places, and you will need to know how to minister to those that are hurting, dying, and contemplating suicide in these places of darkness. So he said, you have to know that there are many out there that have never heard of me, and they live in strange and different places. Now, God goes on to say, but how are you going to do this? How are you going to reach them? And how are you going to minister to them? But how are you going to do this when You have not come to grips with the evil within yourself and within the world. So you have, he's saying you haven't yet come to grips with all the junk that's inside of you, and you haven't yet come to grips with the junk that's going on out there in the world that you just say, oh, well, you know, that's the way it always is. You're going to have to come to grips with all these things. God goes on to say, you walk in self-denial of what is going on deep within the recesses of your soul, and you will not allow my Holy Spirit to minister to those lost and broken pieces. Go back over that. You walk in self-denial of what is going on deep within the recesses of your soul. You just want a surface deliverance. You don't want a deep cleansing, is what he's saying. And you will not allow my Holy Spirit to minister to those lost and broken places within you. This day, I so desire for you to allow me in and allow me to minister to you like never before. I will drop my anointing on you and cleanse the deep recesses of your soul, but you must ask for it, and you must really want it, and then you must receive it with all your being. See what he says? This day I so desire for you to allow me in. Just don't listen to what he's saying. Let it soak into your spirit, man. And allow me to minister to you like never before. I will drop my anointing on you and cleanse the deep recesses of your soul. But you must ask for it, and you must really want it, and then you must receive it with all your being. A lot of people say they want it, but they really don't. It's just a facade that you put up to cover the sin nature that you have deep within. And you, when you say to somebody, you really need a deliverance, well, no, I don't either. Well, let me think about it. You don't want to deal with what's really inside of you. I would never look at you and say you had needed a deliverance if God didn't tell me that. Because it's none of my business how you are inside, but it is God's business. And when God sees something deep down inside of you that needs to come out, because without that coming out, you'll never be a minister for him. You see what I'm saying? And if God says to me or to somebody else, I'd really watch who said to you that you needed deliverance, all right? But because a lot of people out there, I have found out they're really out there in left field doing some crazy things all in the name of Jesus. And see, the reason why you get caught up in that is because you're not walking in the spirit, and you had them demons inside of you telling you that they're all right and you don't have to do anything about it, okay? Then God goes on to say, total consecration. That's why I entitled this living a consecrated lifestyle. Total consecration is involved in long suffering. This is what God said. What is total consecration, you ask? And God says, let me teach you. And Mark 12:30 says, in the Message Bible says, so love the Lord God with all your passion and prayer and intelligence and energy. Now, the New King James Version said, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. Now, if you don't like being in the house of God, you do not qualify to even say anything about Mark 12:30. If you really love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength, you would want to be in the house of God. You would make sure that you're in the house of God, period. What does it mean to be consecrated? That's what I said. Consecration is a voluntary act of committing oneself to worship, prayer, and service to God. The word consecrated literally means to unite by force with the sacred. And John the Baptist lived a consecrated life. I'm going to stop here. You know, we had the newsletter for this month, and God told me to write about love. So I'm sitting down listening for God, you know, and he was telling me what to write. And then I said, no, this isn't right. And I struggled and struggled with that. And I realized what was going on. The enemy was telling me that the world doesn't want to hear this. Therefore, I couldn't say what God wanted to say in the newsletter. And I had to really struggle with this thing. I figured this out. I wasn't writing it for the world. It's going out to the body of Christ. Now, if the world gets a hold of it, I hope it changes them. And so once I realized what was going on, then I was able to sit down and write the article for the, listen to God and write the article for the newsletter. Are you understanding how this works? The enemy will always come by and try to mix you up and tell you things to get you into confusion so that you don't do the things of the Father. Now, if anybody gets too hot, just raise your little pinky and we'll put the, because I feel the heat now. All right, the word consecrate means, I'm going to read that again, Nancy. The word consecrated literally means to unite by force with the sacred. John the Baptist lived a consecrated life. Matthew 11:12 says, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force. Now, our greatest privilege is to hunger after God and seek him with all our heart. That's our privilege. There is nothing else more fulfilling than living wholeheartedly for him in this life. But so few live lives that provoke us to this kind of radical lifestyle. I am totally surprised as I watch the body of Christ how many people do not consecrate themselves to God. They just live just enough with him, hoping that'll get them into heaven. But they never sell themselves out totally and completely to God. And you know what? I'm just wondering where they're going to end up at. You can look at a person and tell, and just watch their fruit. You can tell whether or not they're totally sold out to God. Watch their reactions if you happen to push the wrong button. And you'll immediately see where they're coming from. And they say, I love God, I'm living for God. No, you're not. Your fruit is exposing you. All right? You know, you're going to meet a lot of people who don't know Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And when you walk up to those people, you are going to be Jesus to them. Now, what kind of fruit are you showing them? You're going to be totally humble. There cannot be 1 ounce of pride within you. And you have to know that you know that you know that every word you speak is the Holy Spirit speaking through you, ministering to the people. Or you're not going to save the lost and the dying. You're not. Now, you might draw people into the house of God, but that doesn't mean they're going to stay. So I'm going to tell you right now, please don't get under condemnation. That used to really bother me because I brought people in the house of God constantly, but they never stayed. It's because they never got connected to Jesus. They still stayed in their own old lifestyle, still wanted that old lifestyle. I can't make you drop your old lifestyle. That's between you and God. And some of you are going to have to work really hard dropping your old lifestyle because it has a strong hold on you. And I just thank God that I never was there where the enemy had a strong hold on me, that I know that God's able to bring you out of that mess that you're in. He really is. All right, I said there's nothing else more fulfilling than living the wholeheartedly for him, for God in this life, but so few live lives that provoke us to the kind of radical lifestyle. Now, consecration to God is something we see little of in a world that is looking for excitement, quick fixes, and glamour, and the world sits in the house of God. All right, where are those who can say, I want God and nothing else in this world? I want to go as far as it is possible for a human to go in seeking after God and living abandoned to him. Where in the house of God do you find that kind of people? All right, I said, where are those who can say, I want God and nothing else in this world? Psalm 42, verse 1 says, as a deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Is that how you feel? That's how you should feel if you don't. Psalm 42, 1 and 2. Then there's a little star, and that's God again. He said, I have set before you many examples in my word of living a consecrated life. If you knew my word, you would be living a consecrated life, and you would not be asking how to do it. If you knew his word, he says. He goes on to say, children, you must realize that every one of my children had to submit their entire beings to me and then follow my commands. He's talking about the examples in the Bible, people who walked a consecrated life. He said they could in no wise venture off of the path that I laid before their feet. Read that again. Children, you must realize that every one of my children had to submit their entire beings to me and then follow my commands. They could in no wise venture off of the path that I laid before their feet. You know, the ones in the Bible, Paul, you know, they didn't have to keep praising God in their prisons. They didn't have to keep writing letters to their churches. They didn't have to do the things they were doing, but they lived a consecrated life to God, and they wouldn't leave God for nothing. All right? Then I said, there's an overflow of a consecrated life. You can't hide it. Others see it and are drawn to it and want it. Some are convicted and others hate it because it points out and rebukes the lukewarm and the dead. I remember when I first was going on the road to, you know, evangelizing. One time my mother went with me and we was in a small church and the men came to me just crying and weeping and falling, you know, they hugged me and then they fell to the floor and my mother said, look at them lusting after you. I said, no, mother, they're not. The Holy Spirit drew them. You know, and then we prayed for them, but she thought they were being lustful. See, my mother wasn't walking in the Spirit that time. But so you men, if women come to you and throw their arms around about you and start crying, they're not wanting you. The Holy Spirit drew them, and now your job is to lead them to Christ, the godly way. And women, you're the same way. You have to know that it's God in you that they're after, and you can't have lust in you. If you have lust in you, then you'll be drawn to the lust in them, and you won't do the work that God's calling you forth to do. Matthew chapter 11, verse 12 says, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, we read that before, I'm going to read it again. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Spiritual violence is the expression of our willingness to pay any price of self-denial in seeking and obeying God. This is consecration. That's why I'm reading that scripture. Spiritual violence is the expression of our willingness to pay any price of self-denial in seeking and obeying God. This is consecration. This is what revival is all about, a personal dedication to Jesus and no other. A commitment that is lived out only by grace and the power of God. Can you say to God, I am hungry? I want more? Take me into the consecrated life. Nothing else satisfies. Make my heart alive in you and nothing else. Show me how to truly live for your glory. Let's read that whole thing again. This is what revival is all about. You know, the revival is you. The revival in you. A personal dedication to Jesus and no other. A commitment that is lived out only by grace and the power of God. Period. Now, can you say to God, I am hungry. I want more. Take me into the consecrated life. Nothing else satisfies. Make my heart alive in you and nothing else. Show me how to truly live for your glory. Can you really say that to God? Really say it from the very depth of your being and really mean it. Now, I was seeking God's face about revival, and God said to me, I hate it when they say, bring revival. He said, because the way they're saying it is, they're using revival as the word for me to drop my glory. And what revival is all about is each individual getting their life changed. My glory, he said, that I'm going to drop is not revival. If you're not already revived, my glory is going to kill you. Then I was seeking God, well, what do you want to call it? And then the kids start acting up, and I don't know, but I'm going to get back to that tonight because now I want to know. Well, okay, so we don't call it revival. What do you want us to call it? Or what do you call it? See, I want to know that. What do you call it now? Because he's been trying to start the revival fires within each one of us. Now, either revival fire started in you or it didn't. If the revival fire started in you, then you're going to get the glory drop. Because God's not going to drop the glory on those who do not have the revival fires within them, because it will kill them. They won't be able to carry that kind of an anointing. Are you understanding this? All right, now, The impact of focusing on God produces this. Number one, a purposed heart. When you're focused on God and want to live a consecrated heart, the first thing will happen is you'll have a purposed heart, a desire in the heart to draw near to Him. Number two, a changed lifestyle. A lifestyle and behavior change. You spend your time, energy, and money in different ways. Number three, a reaping of consequences in God. When our actions change, we reap positive consequences in God, in our relationship with God. All right, those are the three things that happen. A purposed heart, a changed lifestyle, a reaping of consequences in God. And this is why I know some of you aren't drawing close to God, because your lifestyle has not yet changed. Your lifestyle just has not yet changed. I'm still watching your fruit. Now, Daniel was an example of a consecrated life. He separated himself unto God and lived differently than others. He positioned his heart after God and prayed three times a day. He fasted. He sought after God when no one was watching. His life was marked by miraculous deliverances, like from the lion's den in a fiery furnace. He had visions and dreams in God's favor. His life was alive to God's purposes. He and John the Baptist led a consecrated life that has challenged and overflowed throughout the generations. In other words, like God said, if you would know His word, you wouldn't ask Him, how do I live a consecrated life? You would know. The world needs my son, and the only way, this is what God is saying, the world needs my son, and the only way they are going to see my son is through you, as you consecrate yourself totally and completely to me every day for the rest of your lives. It's not a one-day thing. Then God goes on to say, this is not a hard thing that I'm asking. It is easy. I never call you to do something you cannot do. I will strengthen you, and I will give the wisdom to walk this consecrated lifestyle that I'm calling you into this night. He's calling you to do that this night. God goes on to say, take heed to what you hear, see, and do from this night forth. For I am sending my angelic host to help you in this consecrated lifestyle, and you shall see things in the supernatural that none other has ever seen. Let's read that again. Take heed to what you hear, see, and do from this night forth. For I am sending my angelic host to help you in this consecrated lifestyle, and you shall see things in the supernatural that none other has ever seen. God went on to say, my son Jesus led a consecrated life, and even his disciples did not understand what and how he lived until after his death, burial, and resurrection. They didn't understand what Jesus was doing until after he died. My son Jesus led a consecrated life, and even his disciples did not understand what and how he lived until after his death, burial, and resurrection. When they understood his lifestyle, see that? When they understood, see, you don't understand the consecrated lifestyle. They also followed in his footsteps and consecrated their lives unto me until death. After they understood. I hope you all understand about consecrated lifestyle tonight. God went on to say, you must also do the very same. There is no weapon formed against you that shall ever prosper as you follow this lifestyle that I'm calling you on tonight. Matthew 54:17 says, you can call it an adventure if you like, for this is a new adventure that I'm calling you into, and you must at all costs consecrate yourself unto me if you're going to walk in the supernatural. Oh, I'm sorry, Matthew 54:17 is no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Then God goes on to say, you can call it an adventure if you like, for this is a new adventure that I'm calling you into, and you must at all costs consecrate yourself unto me if you're going to walk in the supernatural. Some of you in here, you are not going to walk in the supernatural, not the way you are right now. You're going to have to get yourself totally and completely cleaned up and consecrate yourself to God and follow Him with all of your heart. Come on. Moses, and God went on to say, Moses, Paul, Joseph are other examples in my word that led a consecrated lifestyle. You see, I am not asking you to do something that my son did not do. This is not a command, God says. You do not have to live a consecrated lifestyle, but then you will not walk in signs, wonders, and miracles either. I will not be, and God goes on to say, I will not be upset with you if you do not consecrate yourselves unto me. But know this, you are revealing your true walk with me when you deny a consecrated life unto me, the author and finisher of your lives. I'm going to read that again. Some of you said, wow. And God said, I will not be upset with you if you do not consecrate yourselves unto me. But know this, you are revealing your true walk with me when you deny a consecrated life unto me, the author and finisher of your lives. Now he says, God says, token faith. I have not given you token faith. I gave you a measure of faith, and you were supposed to add to this measure of faith by your daily acts of consecration unto me. Now, I looked up token faith, and token faith is fake faith. All right? God goes on to say, far be it from me to force my children to do something they do not desire to do. But if you take my challenge today and consecrate yourselves unto me, you will never be sorry. I said the world needs Jesus, and he is the only answer to the people, to a people that has gone terribly wrong. Here are some simple ways to start a consecrated lifestyle. Number one, cut out the unnecessary. Begin where you are and ask God to help you focus and cut out those things that are not necessary. Number two, study biblical examples. Study the book of Daniel and other biblical characters who lived lives of devotion and consecration. Number three, pray through the Sermon on the Mount. Read and pray through the Sermon on the Mount on a regular basis. The sermon is in Matthew chapters 5 through chapter 7. It is all about a dedicated lifestyle. That's Matthew chapters 5 through 7. And then next thing is receive grace to walk it out. You can't do it yourself. You need the Holy Spirit's help. Realize that none of us is fully committed yet. Don't condemn yourself when you fall. We are all on the road, but we can walk day by day in all the light we receive. When we make a mistake, we push delete. I have a delete button on my little computer, and I know how to use that thing. We can push delete and start again. We need God's grace for consecration. And believe me, we do. If you say you don't, I don't know where you come from. Amen. You're living in some world that I don't know about. All right, live in expectation. Receive God's love in your own heart and know that you will reap positive consequences by living a consecrated life. All right? Live in expectation. Receive God's love in your own heart and know that you will reap positive consequences by living a consecrated life. Will you recommit your life to Jesus tonight is what he wants to know. Let him take you by the hand into a life of consecration step by step, a life of total commitment to him. The joy of the Lord will be your strength, and he will give you daily grace to walk it out. That is the absolute truth. When you totally commit yourself to God and you consecrate yourself to him, and you know, and you don't get upset about every little thing that comes down the pike, and you don't delve into sin, don't you have the true joy of the Lord deep down inside? And that joy just bubbles up, doesn't it? You know, and people can't steal your joy. You might get a little bit upset and have a tyrant every now and then, but they can't steal your joy. Amen. God said, yeah, the devil can't steal your joy. You give it to him. All right? There is no greater joy than full surrender and a consecrated life. There is an overflow of blessing from a consecrated life. Remember, I said that when you live a consecrated life, everything that's in you is going to overflow onto other people. Now, Mike Bickle said this, God designed us so that experiencing his love is the most pleasurable reality available to human makeup. If you men and you women would quit looking for men and women to love you, and allow God to love you, and quit doing this dumb stuff, I got to get married, I got to get married, I got to have a boyfriend, got to have a girlfriend, get out of here, good grief. What you need is God and his love first. And then you will be cleansed and you'll be able to receive a mate. We were created to love God with all of our heart. When we do not love God with a passionate heart, then our emotional life is out of balance and life does not work without pursuing this. So he said, when we do not love God with a passionate heart, then our emotional life is out of balance, and that is true. Life does not work without pursuing this. He goes on to say, we were created in such a way that we cannot live in wholeness without the pursuit of being wholehearted for God. If we have nothing to die for, then we have nothing to live for. And that's the truth. Many in the body of Christ are suffering from spiritual boredom because they are not passionate in their pursuit to love God. Now that's the end of what he said. Remember how God started out this teaching. He said, my children, you still have not learned long suffering as my son Jesus did. I desire you to learn this day all about long suffering. If we do not live a consecrated lifestyle, we will never walk in long suffering. All right? That's how you learn long suffering, by living a consecrated lifestyle. Then God went on to say, my children, if you are not living a consecrated lifestyle, then you cannot bring others into my kingdom of love and in all of its fullness. If you're wanting to go out and teach, are you right? Are you fully consecrated to God? You know, in the many years that I've been in this pulpit, so many people have passed through these doors wanting to start a church who didn't even have their own life right, were not consecrated to God, and all they wanted to do was get glamour, and those people started, but they fell. They were not consecrated to God. God said, my children, if you're not living a consecrated lifestyle, then you cannot bring others into my kingdom of love in all of its fullness. For what you have within is all that you have to give out. See that? And he said, what is your overflow? If you don't have the fullness of God in you, you can't give it out. Do you even have an overflow, he says. First of all, he said, what is your overflow? And then do you even have an overflow? All of my children should have an overflow of my abundance of love, so you can pour it into all that you meet. Did you get this tonight? Are you really understanding total consecration? It's a lifestyle. It's not a one-day thing, not a two-day thing. It's not an every-other-day thing. It's an everyday thing for the rest of your life, totally consecrated to God. Total consecration is where we are at tonight. This is a calling I am placing upon your lives, God said. Long-suffering is someone who's long-suffering puts up stoically with discomfort, trouble, or other people's bad behavior. You know, that's just what long-suffering means. We're going to read that again. Long-suffering is someone who's long-suffering puts up stoically with discomfort, trouble, or other people's bad behavior. This sounds to me that we really need to live a consecrated lifestyle. Amen. Consecration is where it's all at, guys. Consecrated unto God. From the crown of your head to the soles of your feet.
We serve a great and awesome God. We just thank him so much for giving us his prophetic word through his servant, Pastor Evangelist Barbara Lynch. On behalf of Pastor Evangelist Barbara Lynch, we're calling each and every one of you to prayer. Prayer for President Trump on June 2, 2019. It is now in this historic time that we as the body of Christ take up our rightful place in intercession and calling out to God for God's protection over President Trump. We ask that you join us tomorrow, June 2, 2019, in intercession and prayers for favor, for blessing, and for the honor of President Trump. This is an unprecedented time in our history. Never before has any president been attacked, demoralized, victimized like President Trump. We must stand in this hour. We must stand and fight against the principalities and powers that are trying to stop the agenda of God. Greetings, listeners. We're so excited to announce Pastor Evangelist Barbara Lynch is going to be featured at a Miracle Weekend event. We're at the Lighthouse Church. When? June 22nd, and June 23rd, 2019. We will be hosting special services, and God has already promised that He's going to show up and move. If you need a miracle, if you need a touch, if you need a special blessing, you need to make sure that you get to the Lighthouse Church on June 22nd and June 23rd. Don't miss your day of visitation. We pray that you be blessed in this season, and thank you for listening to the Voice of Yahweh Radio Ministries.